When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yes, sir. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
Welcome to what I just learned is going to be episode 99 of the California Penal League podcast. I am
hopefully it's
very
a little more
thrilled.
Rick Vaughn than James Carey.
Or Spencer Strider. I guess.
Well, I was just
completely unrelated to this team.
Sorry to interrupt.
Well, if you want to go the Karen Jack route, then I say the episode we look at the actual vote tallies in Maricopa County. But if we're going to go Rick Vaughn,
right? Yeah. Based on how I did in these predictions we're about to go through, I'm going to need to uncover some more. I'm going to need to find some more votes somewhere that look better for me. I'm going to need to find some things in my favor. But we are going to be humbled quite a bit over these next couple of episodes, I think, because we are talking about our predictions. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that we did preseason predictions for the Guardians, and holy hell, are some of these bad. Not terrible, though, in the sense of our overall records among the offense and pitching staff. We actually hovered more around 500 than I thought, but there are a few just ones that make me want to just like gouge my eyes out personally of picks that I made. So I'm very excited to, embarrass ourselves with these predictions that we made. Today, we're going to just talk about the offensive predictions we made. I think we have like 13 or so that we'll go through and we'll tally up. I don't know, Chris, if you tallied up who did the best among that, but we can do that as we go.
I did not. I only tallied our overall. But it not.
Come on, man. You did everything else. Why couldn't you even do this?
I mean, yeah, goddamn it.
I'm sorry, guys. I let you down. Just like the Guardians let us down this season.
Yeah, I did actually look. Speaking of that and being humbled, I did look at some of my season-long bets on DraftKings, and those didn't fare so well either.
I think I still have one haunting me out there. Like, it's not close.
Really?
And there's no way I can win it, but it's like still just like sitting in my app.
Still there.
It's like, damn it. I know the Guardians didn't win the division. Like, but can we move on from that?
No. It'll never close either.
It's just open. Like, man.
Yeah.
I got really drunk in the beginning of the season, apparently. I think we all did. We're drunk on
optimism. Next year we'll make some like crazy parlays, some like season long parlays or something. We'll make like, you know what we should do next year is like, we should make like each one of us should make like 100 leg season long parlay and see what happens and see who lasts the longest and like, see who
speaking
can get
for the
furthest.
Guy who did the 20 leg week one college football parlay and hit 19 of the 20. No, thank you.
Oh,
that's brutal.
Freaking Baylor.
Absolutely.
If there's any people,
nasty.
Any Baylor alum, any Baylor football players happening to listen to this little podcast of ours, hate your school. Hope you guys rot.
Got a problem for a lot of reasons.
Got a lot of problem with you guys.
You should have offered some NIL money for that.
Should have.
Oh, yeah. Just to guarantee it, sweeten that up. You got to lock in that 20th bet.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see, what can we do? We could just go through each one by one, I guess.
Let's just dive in. Like, let's just dive in.
Let's just get nuts.
Again, I think we were really drunk on optimism. I want to preface that again before we get too far into this.
Probably.
But leading off was our dear old friend. Actually, two dear old friends were leading off the top two props for this. But the very first one we decided to go with, Ahmed Rosario, extra base hits of over under 48.5. And just for those keeping track at home, he was traded, thankfully. Mr. Rosario only finished the season with 39 extra base hits.
Is this combined between LA and Cleveland?
This is the combined season, yeah. Okay. I had to take some liberties and do full season stats, you know, major league stats.
That's fair.
Because
yeah, that's fair.
That makes total sense, yes.
Steve, you and I both took the under. And Fabs took the over with 51.
So stupid.
But don't worry, because me and Steve took like just under at 45 and 46 respectively.
Yeah.
But
I guess
that's how the cookie crumbles.
For extra base hits, it's like you would have had to rely now that I can see clearly again and have the benefit of hindsight, it's like, yeah, you're really hoping this dude crushes a ton of doubles. This is like
doubles and triples. Yeah.
This is like he's hitting almost 35 to 40 doubles. Yeah. And then you're just like, he's hoping he hits a few, like gets into a couple. That's a good point.
I should have broken that down. Because if I'd broken that down, I would have probably come to realize 48.5 is way too many. Because I would be like, okay, best case he hits 40 doubles. Is he going to hit
9 home runs?
10 home runs?
Yeah, right.
No, but he gets a handful of triples, though, too.
That's true.
He's like got six or he had 6 or 7, I think, out on the year.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't insanely far off. He had 39. So it's not like he was like a disaster. But it's
very much in line with his 2021, he had 42 extra base hits, and 22, he had 46. So dude's like going to just like sit in that like low 40s. And you have to imagine, too, that number probably would have been a little bit higher because when he got traded to the Dodgers, he didn't get everyday playing time. They were
that's true. Yeah.
You're a platoon guy here now.
Yeah, you won't be playing every day.
Yeah, no.
All right, so there's Rosario. Me and Chris are off to a good start, but this next prop, this is our first loss across the board.
Oh, yeah.
And this is bad.
And this one hurts.
Yeah.
So much more in hindsight.
Steve was so optimistic.
He was.
I
really was. I thought for sure he was going to. I thought Josh Bell, this is the Josh Bell home run prop, over under 24.5 home runs. And I just thought him backing up Jose and Oscar Gonzalez even behind him, I was like, I'm sure if you roll the tape, I was probably like, that's like a pretty damn good 3-4-5. You know, I was like,
and I think none of us said anything to the contrary.
Yeah, we're all like, you're right.
Yeah. Dude, in theory, it was. We were like, Oscar's going to jump up his home run pace to 25. Naylor's going to be around 25. And Bell and Jose are each going to hit over 30.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That's your offense.
Boom, baby.
Yeah, we had it all solved there.
That was wrong. Bell only hit 22 home runs. And the three of us, like Steve had alluded to, all took that damn over.
And I had mine at a nice, crisp 30.
Yeah, yeah.
So I lost. Actually, what would be interesting would be now that and we could do this as a follow-up, Chris, would be to then do how far off we were. And you get negative, you get like a point system based on like how close you actually were to like hitting the mark.
Well, I do have negative, three small children, so some of my free time is at a premium. But if you want to take a stand,
I don't know about that.
I will.
It's never stopped you before, okay?
This time it is.
Oh, all right. Well, I might have to do that. I might have to think about this. Okay, so flip side. And I guess this actually is like, this is a bummer that Fabs and I even got this right. But the next one is the over
Jose's, yeah.
Jose home runs, which was set at 31.5. And Fabs and I both took the under and got that because he only hit 24 this year.
Yeah.
So
and by the way, before we dive too far in, I just want to let the listeners know that these over-unders were based on like the previous 2 years of just as a refresher, the previous 2 years of statistics that were available. So we were kind of like,
and that's a fair averaging. That's an incredibly fair prop. 31.5 homers for him.
Yeah.
Like I even think some of the sport, I think some of like the big sports books had it sitting around there too, from what I remember. That one might have been one that I just completely ripped from like a sports book in complete fairness.
Well, it was a good one. I mean, I didn't feel super confident in going with just plain old 30, but hey, got me the win, I guess, in the prop game. And you, Chris, had 34.
Which, yeah. I thought he would bounce back to those like 21 numbers, but in a year where the two offseason acquisitions failed to meet the lowest of expectations. You know, Jose was probably affected by that.
you could have redacted all the actual final results and just told us of over-unders, and we would have been like, oh, shit, this season went off the rails then, because...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like...
Well, and I shouldn't even just pin it all on Bell and Zunino. There was regression by Kwan and Jimenez as well.
Well, and Gonzalez got his ass sent down.
That wasn't even regression. That was cliff diving. That was cliff diving. That dude torpedoed his career here in Cleveland, I think.
But the immediate realization by the front office that they were like, can we have a do-over on the Nolan Jones trade, please?
If there's ever a moment that is a living encompassment of the Job from Arrested Development, I've made a huge mistake, like realization, it's that.
Well, you know what it actually is? We got Jarrett righted. The good postseason from Oscar Gonzalez took us down.
It was one freaking hit. That's all it was.
It was the home run, and it was the Yankees hit. And it was like, that was what cooked us, where it was like, hey, this is the guy.
Which, funny enough that you mentioned the home run, it was 1 year ago yesterday.
You know what, though? That one, I have a hard time with that one, because like we just like pooped away the rest of that series. So I'm not even like...
The Tampa home run.
Oh, wait, what? No, yesterday.
The
Yankees hit was yesterday.
Was it Yankees? Okay.
Yeah.
And my phone's lying to me.
I think might have been a week ago. A week ago might have been the...
It was, yeah, I saw everyone posting.
Well, then my phone lied to me.
ALCS now.
That's all I'm going to say, guys. My phone lied to me because it said it was a year ago.
Who the hell knows anymore? Who even knows? Who knows?
But that makes sense. No, that makes sense. Why would it have been this late in the month of October?
Yeah.
It should have been like the fifth or sixth.
Yeah, so two hits. Two wonderful hits completely destroyed our season this year. So I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, clearly not, because they couldn't even get to the ALCS.
No. But moving on in our predictions, sticking with the home run theme, we have Josh Naylor up next with 23.5 home runs. And this is actually the first one that we all got right. We all took the under.
Naylor obviously finished
with 17. But yeah, go ahead. I think I know where you're going with that.
This is probably where you're going with it, Chris, is like if he hadn't gotten hurt, we probably would have lost this.
Yeah. We all would have gotten it wrong.
He would have had 24, 25 easily. He just missed way too much time, and he was on a heater when he got hurt. Like, absolute
If you guys will recall, I made, and now in all fairness again, it was in the middle of that heater, but I did suggest, was there a chance for him to get into the top 10 RBIs
You did.
In a season.
You did. You I did. Remember that. I knew it was it. Over for him once that was said by you.
Like, once Steve starts looking at those things, see, here's the thing, too. I know that when I make comments like that, and this is no real shot at you, Steve, but when I make comments like that, I know I'm jinxing the man, whomever it is.
So usually
I just bite my tongue. But even thinking it sometimes, I feel like subconsciously jinx said individual.
Yeah, I just got so wrapped up in it. I was so excited, and I was just watching him go on an absolute tear.
It was a great story.
Yeah, and then the oblique happened, and that was about it. So that my bad on that one.
So
but I did get
so rest
under.
Up, Josh.
I was just trying to hit that under.
Yeah,
I actually have quite a nice run to start these over unders of the first. Like
you
seven.
Actually did I get, fairly I like, well. You did fairly well offensively. I think it's the pitching that hurt you.
Yeah, it definitely.
Another one that you got right. I got it right as well. Fabs was the only one to get this wrong, but overall, collectively, we all drank the Kool-Aid in the Stephen Kwan average prediction. We set the over under of a batting average of 320. Was that way off?
It's not like you and I, Chris, were like,
no.
Oh
no,
yeah.
No.
Like 280 is good. It was like, no, we were like 315.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought he was going to win the batting title. I said 326.
Yeah.
I thought he had a chance. I thought he had a chance.
Maybe next year. We'll see.
I want to spend a second here talking about Kwan's average this year, because Steve and I were, towards the end of the season, really kind of looking at the stats and Steve more so than I, but just reminding anybody who would listen that stats weren't that far off from 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And they really weren't. It was just the average was down about 30 points. In the grand scheme of things, isn't that much.
Yeah. And when you look at his stat cast, it's kind of a funny inverse where like his expected batting average last year, he like greatly outperformed.
Yeah.
And this year he underperformed. So, it's somewhere in the middle, and there's going to be a year for him where he just has this like Yandy Diaz magical ride type of season.
Sure.
Where he hits like 310. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah. I think what we've learned based on the 2 years with Kwan is he's probably somewhere truly in the middle of all of those, both those years, at least from a batting average perspective. Like if I were to redo this, or if we stick with the Kwan batting average prediction for next season, I'd probably set it like 285.
Oh, that would be good. That would be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Now that we've done this once, I think we'll be.
Oh, this is going to be really fun next year.
Very intense about these.
Yeah. Our second one that we all got right was the 2020 season for Andrés Giménez. We all said no to that or took the under. Giménez had a 27-15-30 slash there with the doubles, home runs, and stolen bases.
We were all pretty close.
Yeah,
he can get to a 30-20-30 season possibly.
Oh, 30-20-30 is very possible. I was almost even wondering, and it would probably be like one, it would have to be probably while he's still young, but is there like a 25-25-25 season he could achieve?
Possibly, yeah. If he gets
that'd be like, he'd have to get on.
Goal.
Yeah, he'd really have to.
He'd have to have home runs. He'd have to have like a September for 6 months. Like the way he ended the year, it would be like, again, just one of those magical
seasons. I mean, it would be a career year, no doubt. Like, I think he's in that 15 to 18 home run territory most seasons. But, like,
Fabs, you were pretty much dead on, too.
Yeah, you were. That was amazing how close you were, too.
I was so proud of that one.
You had 26 doubles, against the 27. You had 16 homers against the 15. And then you had the 24 stolen bases against the 30. You were pretty darn close. We all were like relatively in range. Like,
none of us good in this
drank
one.
The Kool-Aid too much on that one.
Well,
that was solid.
If we're going to talk about drinking Kool-Aid, gulping it down on the next one. Whoa!
Chris was butt chugging Kool-Aid.
Oh my goodness! I was like, "Give me that!"
He was huffing.
I was huffing glue. I was. Yeah, I must have been. I really want to know what I was on that day.
This is the vaunted Oscar Gonzalez doubles prop.
Yeah,
which was
this is like. I'm going to make fun of you guys for some of the pitching ones. This is the one that you guys just like, anytime I start talking reckless about some outfielder, you guys can always just point back to this.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, remember that time you thought Oscar Gonzalez was going to be a player?
Was going to have 37 doubles in 23.
Oh my goodness. In my defense, he had 27 in half a season last year.
The thing is, you know, we all were high on him going into this season. It's not like we thought that it was going to be like, oh yeah, he's going to get sent down, you know, in late April. We still thought he was going to hit 25 doubles. Like, I still thought he'd have 25. I just thought it would be like, oh, like clearly there's going to be like, you know, some adjustment to a full season. He'll probably still hit 20 homers, 25 doubles. That's awesome. He's your right fielder for now, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he
underperformed with 7 doubles.
Hoochie mama. Yeah. Hoochie mama.
I like that you missed it by half. Like, you missed the under, getting the under, because you thought he'd get a half more than what the over under was.
Oh no, I took the over by half, because we set it at 36 and a half. Yeah, boy. That just goes to show you that I know nothing about outfielders, apparently, and that 90 games does not make a season or a career, better said. Right. I think I really just really, really wanted like an answer to right field, and I threw all my eggs in that basket.
It's hard.
The Guardians.
It was hard not to with that one. Like, it, they, you know, he had a great postseason. And he had a really good season last year. He had a really great half season. It's like not. It wasn't out of nowhere.
No. But next year we can all get our hopes dashed, or be. Hopefully, it doesn't, you know, play out exactly the same. But with J-Rod, with Jonathan Rodriguez, hopefully he becomes the new.
Yeah, put the over under prop at like 75 extra base hits.
Well, I think I'll take the under on that one. 30 doubles. He's a guy, though. I mean, granted, it was triple A and double A, but he nearly had a 30-30 season.
Yeah, I think he can legitimately hit 25 home runs at the major league level. He's going to bat 215.
I was going to say 240. Out, like, yeah, 240 maybe.
And like strike out like 250 times. But
if he can be our Kyle Schwarber, I'll take it.
Yeah, man, I'm fine with it. Just
hit 175.
It's fine.
Yeah, 175 and hits 35 homers.
Dude.
Well, okay.
They're in the NLCS. I'm just saying.
I know.
And they're cooking right now, man.
Yeah.
That's right,
baby. I can't wait to see, fingers crossed, a Rangers, Phillies.
Oh, just bash
one of these teams.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I would very much like to see that. That would be a series, like, there aren't a lot of, and this probably is like sacrilege, probably not on a baseball podcast, but there are definitely some World Series matchups where I'm like, I'm not watching that. Like, I don't give a shit.
No, there's a lot where I'm just like,
yeah.
Usually I'll follow it. I'll follow.
Yeah. Oh, for the Astros, Trashtros.
Yeah.
I mean,
I watched a little bit of last year's, but I'm like, I was only like 50% in on Philly last year. And this year, I'm like, this team rules. I love all these guys. They're so awesome. I want Bryce Harper to win one, because Bryce Harper is the guy that we should all be like, you know, glorifying. Because he was the top prospect that actually became who we thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
as opposed to like Mike Trout, who's just wallowing. Mike Trout's a psycho if he doesn't ask for a trade, but that's a story for another day.
You know, that's a different day's podcast. Well, I mean, as we've discussed here, and I don't want to belabor it, but you know, as we've discussed here, I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't. It definitely would up my prop on outfield home runs.
Rightfully so. Somebody who didn't contribute too many home runs, but did contribute a nice little amount of extra base hits was Will Brennan. He was our
We all underestimated him.
Yeah, he was our next prop with 27 and a half extra base hits. We all took the under. Steve, I don't know what you were thinking there with the 20. 20. I don't remember. Fabs and I were a little bit more generous with 24 and 26 respectively.
I was drinking the Oscar Gonzalez Kool-Aid, man. I was like, right, what's the playing time?
Right. That was his argument. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
You know, I didn't like it. And I definitely don't like it now that I'm seeing it in the cold light of day. I'll tell you that.
It's a cruel, cruel mistress.
I'll tell you what, another one that hurts me is that there are two Miles Straw props on here, and I was way too generous on friggin' both of them, and that pisses me off so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are the next two. I mean, we can skip the one, and then we can double up these Straw ones. The first being stolen bases. Miles Straw failed to even crack his total surpass his total from last year. He only had 20 this year. We set the over-under at 26 and a half. And
Fabs, he might have broken that toward the end of the year. He could have broken that if he would have gotten more playing time.
But thankfully, he didn't.
Oh, yes.
Mercifully, he didn't. I agree. He could have. He could have had a few more, yeah. He probably had at least two more.
The fact that he couldn't even do the only thing he does well. Like,
well, that was what really, like, yeah, that was like what really kind of was the last straw, I think, for most people was like, all right, so he's supposed to be like, he's like, brings the speed, right?
Oh.
So, like, where's that?
Well, so there was a funny little antidote. Steve and I were at the last home game with a friend, and at one point in time, I was either in line for the restroom or for beer, and these two older gentlemen, after Miles Straw, laid down a nice bunt for a single. And, you know, minutes after, Steve and I kind of looked at each other and go, if he only did that like three times a week. Basically, these old guys were saying the same thing. They're like, that dude would be hitting 300 if he just did that all the time. You know, just did it all the time.
Literally, it's all he ever did. Yes,
but to the point of Steve, with his speed, you would think that would almost become like a double if he could steal some bases. Let's start thinking outside the box with these underperforming players.
Yeah, that's true. You know, at this point in his career, I think there's been more than enough evidence and time to suggest that we're not going to get the Miles Straw of that, like, that half season that they traded for him. You know,
and looking back at his career, that whole season is such an outlier.
Yes. And you don't know that until you go a few, you know, you don't know it until you are a few seasons away. And it is what it is, but that's the type of player he is.
As we've discussed at length, he still has value to a team not called the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know who that team is just yet, but I've seen enough. And plus with Laureano still under contract and Will Brennan still under contract, he's redundant in many ways there. And quite honestly, inferior to those two. But I mean, there's a team out there who needs probably a fourth outfielder, who needs that guy who can steal them some bases and provide some, you know, gold glove caliber defense. I mean, there's always going to be a spot for those types of guys.
Right. Yeah. He'll be part of some deal.
Yeah. Yeah. We probably won't get a whole lot, but I wouldn't expect him here.
He'll be a part of something.
The other straw prop we had was his OPS being over under 90.
Oh my God. This one hurts. This one hurts so bad.
Yeah, but you know what though? Fabs and I really didn't like
get we this thought great, it was gonna be close. You know,
we thought it was gonna be close, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean he had what?
A 69. A 69 OPS plus.
Dude, yeah. That is so heinous.
I hate him so much.
And for those who are unfamiliar with OPS plus, that means he was 31% worse than the league average. Wow. We were hoping he was going to be 10% worse than league average. He was 31% worse than the league average. Again, just
I have no idea what I was thinking that like
I think you were hoping that he was going to rebound in, you know, that the last year and change was a mirage. I'm pretty sure you said something to that effect too.
And I would have had to want to assume that he'd like start hitting some doubles or something.
Yeah, which
because he didn't have anything.
Because like, yeah, it's like, all right, a few singles here and there, but like it was like this dude has to at least start like taking it to the gap.
Yeah, he never did that.
Yeah, that's a tough
I'm pretty
one.
Sure his slugging percentage was like 10 points higher than his batting average this year.
Oh, I'm so disgusted.
I mean, being sarcastic
with myself.
But yeah, that was not.
I want
a good
him to
one.
Have like he's gonna have the old. He's gonna have like the next season. He's going for like the like slash line of like 0, 667, 0. Like, never gets a hit, but yeah. Gets hit by like enough pitches and walks that he gets like this crazy. He gets the Barry Bonds on base percentage, but no hits.
Well, hey, but you know what? Looking at these other props, you did redeem yourself with another OPS plus prop for the aforementioned Ahmed Rosario.
That's true.
We set it at 99. We set that at 99. You took the under. You were the only one. Fabs and I took the slight over. And Ahmed was kind of what he always is. With an 89, I mean, that's probably one of his worst seasons. Because he's usually floating right around league average. But, you know, 11% off isn't...
You know, it's so funny, dude.
It's not
like,
huge.
Watching, and this, we'll definitely save this for another day. But, like, you know, watching, like, these offenses in the AL and NLCS, you know, the Astros... You know, who I actually believe are more applicable to the Guardians than any of the other teams, because the Astros are like primarily homegrown talent.
Right. It's a very good
Astros.
Comp. It's as much as it we really hate is. Them, it's a very good team to look at and kind of benchmark against.
Yeah. And that's honestly to aspire to.
Yeah.
They Astros, did the opposite of us, though. Homegrown talent. But could tear the cover off the ball, and then they either traded for or purchased pitching in free agency.
But then they
but they've developed
Verlander
some pitching,
especially
but
this
I
year,
get what you're saying.
Those yeah, this year they had to rely on a lot of the homegrown guys, and so like
did,
even though
yeah.
that they even though in like recent years with like you're totally right, Gerrit Cole, Zach Greinke, Verlander. Now they get the embarrassment of both riches where they're just like, well, that's okay. We've also got like right. Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia. You know, we've got Jose Urquidy who we just randomly throw out there. So like now it's just like, we've got both. So right. you
they
are
really
right
do.
Though that like initially you're totally right. They just inverted it and we're like, we could just buy pitching.
But apparently they're not enough. They can't overcome the power of Creed.
That's true. Okay,
who could?
I mean, Creed did have a vice grip hold on mainstream radio in the early aughts.
That's right.
I have PTSD from that, actually. Seeing a therapist.
But, yeah, well, tell to your therapist. But they,
this isn't the right forum
this isn't
for
a
that?
Session.
Oh, I'm sorry,
no.
Guys.
But no, I was looking at I was just like, you know, I'm just watching these teams like the Phillies and the Astros and the Rangers, especially where I'm just like, you know what? I am so sick and goddamn tired of like trying to like justify guys like Miles Straw and Ahmed Rosario with their like bullshit offensive slash lines and OPS pluses that are just dog shit. And I'm like, no more of that. Like, I'm kind of done. I'm done trying to justify it. I'm done trying to like make excuses for like the front office. This season totally like radicalized me in the sense that I'm like, the things that happened with Nolan Jones and Will Benson and Junior Caminero have like turned me into a psychopath about this front office.
So let's just,
I have lost my mind.
Let me just throw this out there. Okay. And I think this is kind of going to like the home run numbers. If the Guardians could jump from 124 this year up to like 182, like mid 180s. I mean, a 60 home run jump.
I was going to be like, where are you going to find 60 home runs?
Well, you hope that you get a little bit more from Bo. You hope you get a little bit more from Josh. You hope that...
you make that Anthony Santander trade, and there you go.
Yeah.
There's half of it.
You can find probably internally and then like with prospects and even like a guy like, you know, I know it's not a sexy thought, but even just rolling with like Laureano more often for like 100 games, that guy's going to hit more home runs in center field than Miles Straw. Is it only going to be probably, you know, 7-8? Yeah, probably. But that's 7 or 8 more than you probably could have depended on than from Straw.
Yeah.
And I don't, by no means am I saying Laureano is the long-term answer. Like, he, to me, is a perfect, like, fourth outfielder come July.
I agree. I mean, but right there, that's the problem. It's going to be come July. It's not going to be, let's start the season with the best possible lineup.
If we make a deal, if we make a deal for an Anthony Santander to play right field,
right?
I think you can wait. I think you can take your time with like Chase DeLauder, because I mean he's only had 8 games in Double A. I want him to get a little bit more time.
Yeah, but then I watch guys like Nolan Shanwell.
Yeah,
Shanwell.
I mean, there's that flip side. Like, there is that flip side. Don't get me wrong.
This season has really opened my eyes, too, to a lot of teams that have just been like, F this. Just bring them up from Double A. I mean, the Mariners did it with Brian Wu and somebody else in their pitching staff. Brian Wu came up straight from Double A. And I think even like Evan Carter with the Rangers came up pretty quick. If I am looking, let me look him up real quick. But anyway, go ahead, Chris.
He came up quick. No, Carter came up quick. He was like Double A this year. Only played like a month.
He only had
there,
8 games at Triple A before they called him up.
Yeah, how many in Double A this year?
He played nearly 100 games at Double A.
Okay.
And then he had 8 games at Triple A before they brought him up, and he's only 21.
Yeah, he's young.
He just turned 21.
Yeah, he's young.
And he's,
I didn't think he could drink. I didn't think he was able to drink when he was on the team when he got first called up.
No, you're right. And all he's done is just mash. He's just an absolute beast. So anyway,
I mean, if we could add 60 home runs, I think that solves a lot of our offensive woes. But easier said than just done.
And what prop? Do you have any other offensive props, or is that it?
We have 2 more. We have 2 quick more. I'm gonna go to. We'll do the Jose helmet count one.
Okay.
Zach Meisel, Guardians beat reporter, always keeps track of this, so that's where we got all these fancy numbers from. It was very nice, and it's always one of those tweets that I always look forward to throughout the course of the season. But we set it at 84.5 lost helmets, and we were drinking the Kool-Aid, guys. We really wanted to see those helmets flying off.
Yep. Yeah, we did.
He only had 67 this year.
Jeez. Tough year for him.
Which begs the question, did he finally get a better fitting helmet?
A better fitting helmet, or was he just like, was this just not one of those years where, you know, he was able to go first to third
Probably because nobody could hit after him.
When this is true.
You know what I mean?
This is like, true.
There weren't a lot of days where he was running.
The lineup behind him was pretty shaky.
There wasn't a lot of time to, you know,
Cam Gallagher could knock him in.
Yeah, that's right.
But that was only for like 40 games at the end of the season.
Zunino at the beginning.
God, that was brutal.
Oh, hell.
That was so brutal.
Yeah, so that was that's a sad. That was a sad one. That is a sad one, but the knockout of Tim Anderson does.
It makes up for that. That's worth like at least 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, the other prop here was one of my favorites for the season.
Yeah.
I really thought I had a chance. I really thought I had a chance, like,
by
June or July, where I was like, we're kind of there.
I remember getting phone calls and, like, in the middle of the night going, I'm not going to hit it. You're not going to hit it.
Another
game.
And I
was like, who is this? And I was woken up from a slumber. And then in the morning, I kind of got my wits, and I saw it was you, Steve.
Every game where I'd see Miles Straw go 0-for-3 with a walk, or Stephen Kwan not get three hits, but none of them left the infield. And, Will Brennan did whatever. I was like, okay, we're there. But the prop was outfielder home runs. And I set it at 13. And I was the only one that took the under because I was really feeling my bet. You guys took the over just out of like sheer, how could this possibly happen?
And it was, you know, just
me being stubborn,
spite and stubbornness.
Totally. But you guys got it. And that the total. Now, this is still an incredibly sad and despicable number.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Before you announce the number, I just hope that we have a guy in the outfield on the roster next season who matches this total himself.
I don't even think it's going to happen.
I highly doubt it will, but I'm hoping.
But you're right. I'd pray. The number is 18, and I pray you're right that somebody out there next year hits 18 home runs in the outfield for the Guardians. But collectively, this counts Oscar Gonzalez, the David Fry experiment, Gabriel Arias when he was in the outfield, Brennan, Straw, Kwan, any person with a pulse
Cole?
That they put out in right field.
Cole Calhoun. Five games.
Cole Calhoun, yeah, duh. Basically, yeah, that's like, you know, 12 guys combined to hit 18 home runs.
It was pathetic.
Outfield.
So pathetic.
Now, if you look at their every day.
There's teams that average amongst the three outfielders 18 home runs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That sucks being a fan of this team sometimes. Can't.
That is sickening.
Here's the sad thing, though, too. I'm not positive, and again, we can get more into this as the season goes on, but to your point, Steve, I'm not positive that even if we were to acquire a Santander, or I'm just thinking of some guys who might become available, maybe even an Austin Hayes, that they would hit that 18 total, and, you know, Kwan's going to probably be in that single digit range still next year. I don't see that changing. And then center field, you know, let's say Chase DeLauder does get promoted. And I don't necessarily know that he's much more than like a 15 home run a year guy.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I mean, still very much out for him. So, I mean,
I was getting real crazy, and I'll leave you guys with this note because I think that was our last prop.
Yes, that was.
But I'll leave you with this. I saw that the Brewers, and this is good fodder for the rest of the offseason, but I saw the Brewers are in some trouble because Brandon Woodruff is going to be out basically all of next year with a shoulder surgery, and they've got two seasons left with Corbin Burnes, basically. And I was like, you know, all right, what if you went to them and you were like, well, you know, let's do a deal for Bieber. You can keep your strength. You can win the Central still, and you'll have Bieber and Burnes. And, you know, all it would take would be like Sal Frelick. I want your number one outfield prospect. I was like, give me that guy. He's going to hit 300. You've heard this before, right? It's like, dude's going to hit 300.
Yep.
Yeah. He won't. He'll be like Stephen Kwan in right field. He will hit maybe 5 to 6 home runs a year.
Yeah,
and it's like, dude, I can't.
He's a nice player. He's a nice player, but he's not it, man. He's not it.
No.
I like him, but
give me the Santander like 20 home run guarantee over even Sal Frelick prospect. Give me the not sexy, just dude in right field.
Hey.
Lourdes Gurriel? I don't know.
Stop giving away. Stop giving away future episodes, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Where
am I
going?
This is just a primer. I have done a deep dive, and by a deep dive, I meant I spent about 10 to 15 minutes researching free agents, and there's some juicy names out there that they're juicy names, and maybe in the same vein as a Josh Bell and a Mike Zunino, where had those guys panned out and played like kind of what you had hoped for, you kind of look back and the league collectively looks back and go, oh, that was a nice move right there. Mm-hmm. That really kind of flew under the radar and it panned out. There's a lot of those kinds of names. Albeit, I think with better track records though, too.
Yeah. Just give me one. We need literally just one.
Yeah, one, and then just roll with some of these prospects.
Yep.
That'll make Fabs a happy boy. And we want Fabs to be happy.
Dude.
Yeah, we want Fabs to be happy boy.
We don't want you going to Guardians and Angels games in late August, early September next year, and not seeing Trout and Otani again.
Ugh. God almighty.
I have the schedule right here.
I guess.
I don't know when do they go out?
I think it's earlier this year.
Yeah, I think it is too. Hold on. You're going to
consulting the wall schedule.
Yeah, you're going to get them in May. You're getting them in May. And,
there we go.
But you are also getting them in September for two games.
Oh,
a weird two game series against the Dodgers. On September 6th and 7th, a Friday, Saturday,
two-game series?
Yeah, and then we start a four-game against the White Sox on that Sunday.
Whoa, I've never seen that before.
That is heinous.
That can't be right. Is that correct?
I'm looking at the schedule.
Whoa.
The schedule that the Guardians handed us on Tito's final game at home.
I've never
seen. Well, I bet it was a misprint, and they're just like, we have to give this out. We have to give something out. We have nothing.
You're like, oh, crap.
I've never seen a major league series start on a Sunday. That's never happened.
Nor have I seen a two-game Friday-Saturday series.
Whoa.
There's some baked-in doubleheaders this year, too, for some teams.
Oh, damn. What's going on?
They're listening to my dreams.
Is this like CBA shit?
They're in my head because I wonder
if there's some CBA action going on.
Okay, wait. On MLB's site, we play the Dodgers a three-game series, September 6th, which is a Friday, through Sunday. Then we're Monday in Chicago.
Okay.
So that Sunday game is definitely going to be a day game so they can travel.
Because, I mean, I will show you the schedule here. There is.
I hope that's a misprint.
Do you see it?
Oh, it is. It is.
Wait.
It is.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a misprint. Yep. That's why they gave him out.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel better. Okay. So just ignore the last like 4 minutes.
Unbelievable.
For those listening.
Dude, I cannot believe they handed out a schedule like that.
Fucking.
I'm going to frame that and then I can sell it on eBay for like $7 because it's.
Oh, an absolutely.
Air schedule.
I should have grabbed this. I should have grabbed the stack like all those
weirdos
were
doing. Oh man.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. What a way to end this episode. That's fantastic. I love it.
We messed up another printer of that schedule.
Oh yeah, I can't. And the Guardians. Nobody was. They were just like, nah, fuck it, whatever. It's the last home game. You're totally right that they just were looking to unload.
Do you think they even checked it?
Absolutely not. No.
We were phoning it in.
Wow. I can't think of a better way to end the episode. I think that's pretty much where we should leave it. So, Chris, you got a collector's item in your messed up schedule post.
Message me if you want in on that action, guys. I'm willing to sell it to the highest bidder.
You can get a collector's schedule poster that that curiously does not feature Shane Bieber in the graphic.
Yeah, that should probably tell you that something too. All you need to know too.
Yeah,
because he's probably gonna be a Baltimore Oriole.
That's fine. That would be great. That's like the perfect. Well, all right. We'll talk about that. We got so much to talk about this offseason.
We can continue this.
I don't want to get too much into it anymore. But yeah, so our next episode 100, will be covering some more of our delicious, horrible props that we made, bets that we had for the season, and maybe some other juiciness for the offseason. We'll start to dabble in a little bit more.
Might have some updates on the managerial search. You know, that's probably going to be the first domino that falls, I would have to imagine.
Yes, it will probably be a name nobody will be happy with.
And of the 50 candidates, I don't believe any one of us have gotten the phone call yet for our interview time. Have you guys?
I did a Zoom.
I did do an
introductory Zoom with a couple people. And so I think it's just got to go up the chain.
Are you sure they're with the organization, though?
Yeah, well, I don't know. They claim to be, but okay. I don't know. I guess it was a little sketchy, the background.
They asked if I'd take a pay decrease, and I don't get benefits.
Oh.
So, we'll see.
Yeah. That's not good. And I've also had to recalibrate my thinking, because I kept telling my wife, if we won that, like, $1.2 billion Powerball, I would spend all of it on a minority ownership stake in the Guardians.
Because if you took the lump sum, you're really only getting like $650 million. Yeah. Yeah, it would be a minority.
Yeah, a pretty sizable minority ownership stake.
I mean, you could be.
You could close to 50% of the team.
Yeah.
Then I could be in a power struggle.
I would take 30% of the team.
I would take I would take 10.
Well, see, if you do 10 to 30, 15, 20. Like every year, then you use your earnings to just buy more percentage.
Yeah. See, I would just go lump sum, buy it all right away, and then just go full Jerry Jones.
Well, you need to make sure you save 10 to 15 million though.
Yeah.
So you can,
just put it away.
Cost of stuff. Yeah. You never know. Tax bills randomly happen sometimes.
And then 10 to 15, that's just a nice little cushion.
I can live comfortably while running a team like George Steinbrenner.
$10 million.
Right. All right. Well, until we win that Powerball, we'll be here. And we will continue to talk all things Guardians this offseason. And until then, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check with us all offseason. So we're going to be here losing our minds. And until then, we'll catch you guys later.